The word today is victorious. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. We love to win. Victory is almost always sweet. But what about our attitude as Christians toward those who are defeated, the enemies of God? Should we gloat over them? Here with his thoughts on this topic is Bible educator Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Victorious.
Should we take delight in the downfall of our enemies? Should we be happy when they bite the dust? It's an interesting question. Are we to celebrate when the enemies of God are defeated? Well, you know, in the Bible, such things take place. We have in the book of Exodus, God's people in the Old Testament, the Israelites, celebrating when the armies of Egypt were inundated, when they were drowned by the walls of water that the Israelites had just walked past, had walked through as they crossed the Red Sea. And then once the Israelites were on the other shore, the opposite shore of the Red Sea, the Egyptians pursued, and the Lord crushed them and drowned them in the depths of the waters. And the Israelites proceeded in the next chapter of the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 15, to sing a song of praise and a song of victory, almost a taunt song against the Egyptians. And it goes like this in Exodus 15. I'll read a little bit of it to you. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. You can see the adulation and the excitement and the thankfulness of the people to the Lord for this resounding victory. In the Old Testament, there are things that are called imprecatory psalms. There are songs that ask God to crush his enemies, to defeat them. They speak of breaking the teeth of the enemies. There are even certain instances where they wish that the children would go fatherless of the enemies of God. These are not pretty sentiments. These are not soft, loving thoughts. These are angry thoughts. These are thoughts that are looking for righteousness and vengeance. Something that should be remembered is that when Israel in the Old Testament fought, it was not against nice, loving, friendly, kind people. It was against people with horrible, really, really nasty practices. Like, for instance, the Canaanites, when they would build a home, if they had a young child that was born at the time the home was built, they might take that child and seal it into a clay jar and then seal that jar into the wall of the home. And the child would be like a live sacrifice in order to dedicate their home. We also had the people in the Promised Land where the Israelites invaded who would worship the god Moloch. And the god Moloch was fashioned and formed with outstretched arms. And infants would be placed into the arms of this statue and then a fire stoked so that the infant would be burned alive. I mean, we're talking really, really nasty, horrible things that were done for these pagan gods. So when the Israelites fought, it was not just to take possession of the land, but it was to wipe out such hellish behavior, such horrible, horrible actions that accompanied their false worship. And so when the Israelites were freed from Egypt And after the Lord's mighty miracles were displayed, and finally the Pharaoh relented and he let them go, they crossed over the Red Sea, and Pharaoh once again changed his mind and sent his armies to pursue, and the Lord let them have it. They were crushed in the depths of the Red Sea. So many times today, I wonder if people think that God has gotten soft. If they expect God to be some kind of old grandfatherly figure, as though he doesn't have vengeance and wrath and punishment of the wicked anymore, people mistake God's mercy for impotence, for an inability to crush wrong. And this is a big mistake. The Lord is being patient with people, waiting for them to repent, waiting for them to come back to him. And the day of his wrath and vengeance will come, and it will be too late. It will be as sudden as the Red Sea crushing the Egyptians on their chariots. We need to remember that just because we don't see the hand of God upraised and smashing people now does not mean that this will never happen. It's going to be a very rude awakening at the judgment for those who have not loved the Lord Jesus, for those that have mocked him, for those that have attacked his body, the church. They're going to regret the day, rue the day that they ever challenged the Almighty God. You know, this story and this song that is sung is so powerful because songs ingrain in our memory the event. And they make us feel a certain way. And so the song of Moses and Miriam was to instill the confidence in God and the gratitude toward God. There are so many descriptions of God's strength and power. Like, for instance, in verse 1, it says, God hurled the Egyptians into the sea. That's said more than once, where God flings them, hurls them. It talks about them sinking into the depths like a stone. God will avenge himself, and someday he will do so against all of his remaining enemies. You don't want to be an enemy of God. You want to draw near to Jesus Christ, to become a friend of him. You want to walk with him and love him. God the Father, the same God who crushed the Egyptian army, had sent his son Jesus to be the Savior of the world. So understand this. God is not just vengeful and angry and militant. God is also loving and merciful. So much so that he would allow humanity to mistreat his son and allow him to be crucified so that mankind can be saved. You need to understand the strength of God. God is strong not only when he is crushing his enemies, but God is displaying an amazing kind of strength in his love for humanity when he allows us to mistreat his son, because he knows that Jesus will be raised from the dead again. Humanity cannot ultimately hurt God. We cannot ultimately get rid of him. No, God is stronger than even death. When it talks here in Exodus about the Lord is my strength and my song, it's acknowledging that there are certain things that require supernatural deliverance. Only God can deliver. That's what Miriam and Moses were acknowledging when they said that the Lord has done this. He is our strength and our song. Well, the Egyptians would have run right over the Israelites and thoroughly dominated them if it were not for God's intervention. The same thing is absolutely true of us. How can we stand up to Satan? How can we stand up to our sinful flesh, which is constantly luring us into sin? How can we possibly expect to win over death and the grave? We couldn't, if not for God's deliverance. If not for his divine nature and power, we'd be toast. We have to depend on God, and that's why we celebrate his victory. In the New Testament, it's very important to recognize that the gospel of Jesus is critical to salvation. It is important that we know that this is God's deliverance from sin and death. And we may have enemies. We may experience people persecuting us. They may hate us just for being Christians. But we rely on a God who delivers from our enemies, who delivers from sin and death. You know, one of the things Israel fought in the Old Testament, because they were a political religious group, it was literally God leading a people on the face of the earth. No longer is that the case. The church now is not a government. Jesus said that if his kingdom were of this world, his followers would fight. They would resist. But the church is a spiritual thing. It is in the hearts and the minds of people. It is something that a civil government cannot destroy. It is something that cannot be eliminated with a sword or with a gun. The kingdom of Jesus Christ goes beyond governments of this earth. And that's why it is a terrible mistake whenever anyone thinks that religion and government are supposed to be the same. You can tell that people are spiritually mixed up and not under the correct understanding when they try to mix government and religion to the point that the two become the same. Jesus wants us to exist in his kingdom alongside earthly governments, but not trying to take control of earthly governments. And in the same way, it's just as wrong for a government to try to dictate and command what can be done in the name of Christ. That's nonsense. No earthly government can shut down Christianity or capture it. God has the ultimate victory. The chariot wheels that have been found in the Dead Sea, this is amazing. In the 1970s, there was discovery in the Dead Sea, and chariot wheels were found from 3,500 years ago, dating back to this event. It's testimony to the reality of God's victory. And I want you to have confidence that in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have victory just as the ancient Israelites had victory. God will deliver us from all of our enemies. Satan, sin, and death, God will win.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org. to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.